folks, this is your host, Michael Lehman. Welcome to Behind the Curtain, tips, tricks, and insights into patterns and practices at Microsoft. Today I'm joined by Bob Brumfield, a senior developer in patterns and practices, who works on various development projects so far, including Prism.
Prism, Enterprise Library, the phone, plus Azure stuff, and before that, Service Factory. Kind of the whole spread, actually.
So you kind of been in the trenches
for
some time.
Yep.
So tell me, what's different about developing inside P&P, say, versus building a product or working in evangelism?
Well, so I never worked in evangelism, but certainly from a product group, I think it's, we are allowed to get things out the door a bit faster, right? Our cycles are a lot more compressed, so I think mm-hmm. that gives us the ability to respond a little sooner, although sometimes I know customers would like us to respond even faster.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we get to respond a little bit sooner than you typically can do in a product group. We also tend to work at a smaller scale, so we may not accomplish as much as a product group might either, but I think it gives us the ability to respond to changes and requests a little bit faster than a typical product group can do.
Now, isn't also one of the other differences is that the code you produce is typically included in source code form in our releases?
Yeah, well, I mean, there's some product groups that do put source out, right? I mean, Meth got some releases out to Codeplex. So,
right.
So I'm not sure that's a distinguishing factor between the product groups and what we do, but that is one of the primary features that we do, right? I mean, we like to get our stuff out there early so that people can provide feedback on it, evaluate it. It's tough for people sometimes because everybody's busy and they can't always do that, but we usually get a good set of people who can at least take a look at what we have and comment on it before we kind of move it to its final stage so people can follow along or adopt it and just see what we're doing. Or we leave it there at the final release as well so people can see how we did things and take it and modify mm-hmm. it if they want. So,
and tell me a little bit the difference about how do we develop P&P assets?
So it's a pretty interesting process, I think, overall, because we try to work in an agile fashion, right? We typically have a backlog of stuff that we develop from ideas generated internally, but as well as stuff that we've collected from the community, right? So mm-hmm. you might see, before we get started on something, where we've put a Codeplex or a poll out on somebody's blog that says, hey, we're starting up Enterprise Library, right? Grigori did this. What things do you like? And help us organize and prioritize the features, right? So suggest features, prioritize features. And then when we get into each individual, the meat of the development, we take those items by priority, and then attack them by story order, right? And so what we can do then is to handle the highest priority values or highest priority items first, and then move on from there. So it tends to follow an agile approach. I mean, we like to say that we, we follow Scrum plus XP processes. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure we always follow it as diligently as we would like to, but I think mm-hmm. we always are trying to improve those processes. So during the development, we have sprints, and we do stand-ups, and we do some of the things that you might expect. We all sit in one room together so we can get a higher value communication. Interestingly, over the last couple of years, we have a number of people work offshore. So, we've tried to work and find ways to solve problems with working in agile teams and mm-hmm. With offshore components as well. So, I think it's a pretty interesting process and allows us to try to attack the things that the customers think are the most important. Mm-hmm. And try to get those out as quickly as possible.
Oh, that sounds good. Now, in addition to just development, mm-hmm. Typically the team room, the way I see it, usually contains at least members of the test team as well as PMs.
Oh, absolutely.
And technical writers.
Yep. So, yeah, we have kind of all disciplines reflected there, and everybody participates during the iteration in the planning and the execution. So, again, it leads us to have those higher value conversations between all those groups as we're developing. It's, like I said, it's become a little harder because sometimes we have our writers offshore, we have some of mm-hmm. our test team offshore, and so we try to work through some coordination efforts between some of those people, which mm-hmm. you want to do in the room, but generally we like to have people in the room and do that. So depending on the project and the composition of where those people are coming from, we can have more people in the room or we can have a few less people in the room, and I think it's helped us and helped us to be to produce the kind of things we do produce, actually. So,
now, in terms of stuff that's like right hot on the plate, I know that as this podcast is going to show up on Channel 9, the first version of Windows Phone 7 just RTM'd yesterday.
Yes, yeah.
And so how has it been to work with the pre-release stuff, and how challenging is it to to continue to deal with new builds, and when do you think the first sort of V1 of the phone guidance from PNP is going to hit the street?
So to answer the first question, I think it's been very interesting exercise to work with the bits. There's internal release of the bits, but we generally kind of ignore those, actually. We try to work on the things that the customers have as well, because we like to release stuff. So we already have some of the, we've done drops of what we have out there. So mm-hmm. we like to work off, we're working off the beta right now, right, just like everybody else. So we're going through the same challenges and suffering, and we've provided feedback based on that to the product teams about that, and they have responded to many of those things, but we haven't been able to see that because we're trying to work on the same things that people see now.
The customers have right now, which is still beta, right? For another 14 days.
That's about right.
Yeah,
so
they just announced that it's September 16th that you're going to have real bits. So.
That sounds about right. So now what we have done is we had some of our test team who've taken the internal bits and run our stuff to make sure that we're kind of lined up well, but we haven't actually been building against them and stuff. So we've run into the same challenges everybody else has. And so once that drops, we're hoping to be able to refresh that pretty quickly, because we've tried to keep at least a knowledge of kind of where things might be problematic and break. And then we'll be able to hopefully revamp our stuff to work off the latest bits, and then get that out in people's hands fairly quickly. So.
Well, that sounds great. Now, the final question: what about developing inside PNP have I not asked you about that you think that everybody would be interested in?
I don't know. I mean, I think PNP is one of those interesting places at Microsoft where we get a nice convergence of customer interaction, as well as working with the product groups, as well as working with evangelism and stuff. And so I think just the ability to do those type of connections with everybody and try to try to make sure we're tuned in with the customers and helping meet their needs, I think, is one of the most exciting things about where we work. I think if you're a developer in a product group, that sometimes you can feel fairly removed from some of that,
mm-hmm.
Because you're not necessarily get an opportunity to go talk to customers as often as, say, a PM would or somebody else would. So I think that's one of the things I've valued here, right? Particularly coming from a consulting world where I've always interacted with customers very directly. Mm-hmm. It's one of those things that I cherish and value fairly highly. So it's one of those things that I like about our group. I like the way we approach and do those things. And I think there's other people in Microsoft who do it, are trying to do it that way and do it a little, trying to make sure they get a little higher interaction as well.
Mm-hmm.
But it's we're a smaller group, so we can probably do a little easier than others. So.
Understood. Now, are you doing anything for the upcoming PNP symposium?
So it's not sure yet if I'm going to do anything for the upcoming symposium. There's been a couple things. We might talk about some Prism stuff. I know Scott and Eugenio are going to talk about the phone. I might play part of that. We'll have to see. I haven't officially signed up for anything specifically, but.
But will you be there in the symposium?
Oh, I'll be there.
People want to come and talk to you directly.
I think John Papa or David Platt is going to do some sessions on Prism and or MVVM. I'll be around those, and I'll be happy to talk about anything we're doing from the Prism phone stuff related to MVVM. And so I think it'll be, it's one of those times when I really like to interact with the customers and be around and make sure I get those connections with people.
All right, sounds great. Well, that's it for this episode of Behind the Curtain, Tips, Tricks, and Insights into Patterns and Practices at Microsoft. We'll see you next week.